and welcome to the fourth episode. Was it the fifth? What is it?
Fourth.
Fourth episode of the Transit Centre podcast with me, Tony Stevenson. As always, I've got my partner in crime, the Cagney to my Lacey.
I'm going with Cagney and Lacey.
Break out the cape and I'm out of here.
You're right, Ken, how's it going?
There's another voice here, Eric Tuck.
There's another voice. We've got a very prestigious guest today. It's Mr. Eric Tuck.
Pleased to join you guys. I don't know about prestigious, but I'm certainly happy to be here.
You're both older than me, so you're both prestigious.
That's right.
We got Eric here today. I actually grabbed him downstairs in the lunchroom about 10 minutes ago.
Wonder what I was keeping him.
So I handcuffed him and brought him up here. I want to talk to Eric about a couple of things that's going on with the union. Lately with the POPS, the political
organizing and public service.
I was supposed to talk to Sheldon about it, but obviously I haven't got.
Well, certainly you should make a point of getting him up here as the chairperson of the committee. He's certainly the driving force behind it.
He's trying to arrange a time to sort everything out. Also, there's the food drive that's going on late on today.
All week we've had stuff going on. Monday we had the
Transit Awareness Week set up.
So McNabb Terminal and the GO station, we were down there on Monday handing out water and handing out brochures to the passengers, encouraging them to contact, there's 1-800 number, contact the federal government and encourage them to invest in transit. That's the whole idea behind the POPS committee, is to start lobbying. Here in Hamilton, Toronto and a lot of the major cities.
Me and Ken have discussed this on one of the podcasts, the first podcast about creating our own worth.
Transit, I don't think our members really realize how much power we have to influence government and to persuade them to put the money where it belongs when it comes to things like public transit, public health, public education. And I say all three of those because we're just as equal as the rest of them when you think about it.
Well, for a town like Hamilton, and again, me and Ken have discussed this, it's not an affluent town. It's not people who've got loads of cash to drive brand new cars every year. There's a lot of people that are minimum wage or below, or just above minimum wage, and they're working paycheck to paycheck like some of us are, even some of us bus drivers do, myself included. Yeah. And the transit is a huge advantage to them.
It's their only wheels to get them around. For many here in Hamilton, it's not an advantage, it's a necessity.
It absolutely is. Whether it's, and yet if you think about it, in most cities, transit, everybody at some point in their life is going to be dependent on transit. They're a student going to school.
What do they do when they're drunk at 1 o'clock in the morning? You don't want them to get a car. A taxi's too expensive. You can't walk home.
Ottawa has a great plan. They give you a 10 o'clock transfer at night, and it's good till 4:30 in the morning just for that purpose. So people can get home from being out.
The last thing you want to do is see somebody getting into a motor vehicle.
I know it's not company policy, but I'll do that. Yep. I'm sure every driver, I would hope that most of our drivers would certainly be understanding
when somebody...
Don't worry about it. You might be drunk and a bit of an idiot. You don't want to drive your car.
As long as you're not being verbally abusive, then certainly we would encourage a lot.
So what else has been going on this week?
Well, like I said, we had the Transit Awareness Week. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we were at Eastgate, Lime Ridge, as well as the downtown terminal.
And you was doing some sort of raffle, I believe. Was that right?
We had a draw that's open to all our passengers, and the draw is going to be taking place tomorrow. We'll be announcing the winners.
We'll put that on the...
We had over 2,500.
You're not winning.
We had over $2,500.
You picking his name? Pick someone else's name.
It won't be me picking the name.
You think it's fixed or something?
That'd be funny if a bus driver actually wins.
We were pretty lucky. We had five sponsors that donated $500 each.
Nice. You did some work, Eric.
Our lawyers, Watson Burns, they donated $500.
That's awesome.
Union Strategies donated a 32-inch TV. Bud Dillon, Todd Dillon, Tax Count, he donated $500 along with his partner with another business there. And wow. I think who the fifth one was. Anyways, there was five of them, so we got about $2,500.
That's excellent.
Prizes and encouraged all our passengers to put in the draws. I know there was a lot of ballots in there.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't sit down and count them because we've been a little busy this week, but I think we had a really good response from our passengers, and I think it's very important that we start reaching out to them.
Well, for sure. Yeah.
But we've said this many times with the podcast and the Facebook page. And the Facebook page is for everyone.
Yep.
Same as the podcast. It's on iTunes. It's on podomatic.com. It's anyone who just types in Transit Sense will get it. It's not for drivers. It's sort of for drivers. But it's for everyone.
It's all part of the power of social media, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Social media is a huge
connection. You want to talk about social media. One of our drivers actually took the Please Take One for the food share that we have on the buses, and he took a picture of it, and he put it on Twitter. And apparently, within one day, there was over 20,000 hits on Twitter.
Really?
On that one site. So that just goes to show the power of social media.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, anytime we can put our name, attach our name to something positive like that, it certainly helps.
Right? I mean, well, public doesn't really understand what we are sometimes, you know.
Oh,
well,
we're just bus drivers, aren't we?
We turn a wheel, right?
Steering wheel attendant.
I rode on the Canada bus the other day, and one of our female drivers realized this gentleman was living in the neighborhood about half a block down. It was her last trip. She thinks she wanted to just hurry up and get off, but she took the time to stop halfway block down, lowered the bus. He had a cane. Former Stelco worker, you know, he's elderly now. Picked up his groceries and walked him to his door, put the groceries down at the door, and said, there you go. And back to the bus.
I love hearing stories like that.
Yeah, a person on the bus took a picture of it. Yeah?
You think it doesn't happen that often, but
it's quite regularly,
it does. And I hear that quite regularly.
Yes.
You know, and those are the drivers that stand out and make us all look good.
That's right.
You know,
I
encourage all of
you. What's that old saying? Is a few bad apples spoil the bunch. You get that everywhere.
You're going to have that with any organization.
Sure. Anywhere.
You can have 10 people, there's always going to be one person.
Sure.
Or you have 500 people, and it's 10 people.
It's a lot of good stuff that goes unnoticed here.
That's what I was going to say. You know, you look at Toronto TTC and you see these pictures of the driver, reading a paper at a stoplight or a cell phone. And that stuff goes like wildfire.
Yes.
Something positive.
Papers sort of pushing.
Nobody takes the time to take a picture or to report those kinds of things.
Oh, no,
they happen 10 times a day, whereas you might see that once a day.
There was one on Facebook I was looking at the other day. The driver was sitting there for a couple of minutes, and she was changing her mirrors. She's just taken over the bus, obviously. She's changing her mirrors. It's on the Facebook page. I can't put it on the Facebook page. She's just moving her mirrors around. Mm-hmm. And someone shouts out to her, what the F are you doing, blah-de-blah, what are you doing? I want to go home. And she's like, I'm changing my mirror so I can see, so I don't have a crash. What's your problem? I don't understand your problem. Oh, I want to fucking get home. It's late. We've got kids to get to.
Brother.
They're giving this driver no ends of grief.
Yeah.
For the fact that she's trying
to be
safe. She
doesn't deserve that at all.
And it goes viral, and it's like, 10,000 million hits on YouTube and she's just doing her job.
Yeah.
And some of the comments were like, this driver's a stupid bitch and blah, blah, blah.
Unfortunately, some of them don't realize how much it takes to get everything set up and get
it. It takes you a good three, four,
so that it's safe. You know, at the end of the day, safety has to be the priority.
Well, that is a priority.
Well, safety is the number one priority. We said this on the last podcast. Safety is a priority. Schedule don't mean nothing. Safety is it. Anyway, the big bike ride today.
What a blast that was, wasn't it?
I saw something going on Upper James. Was that?
We was causing.
You tied up traffic, Eric.
Hey, I got to tell you, Boston Pizza put us on this big bike ride, and there was 29 of us. The Pops Committee organized that. Jenna Amos. Yeah, she was.
Well done, Jenna. Word out.
She organized that in about 2 weeks. She put that together. Yeah. And,
so for the people that don't know what we're talking about, because we've just talked nonsense for the last 5 minutes. the big bike ride was for it's like a huge 29 person
like
bike,
that, yeah.
And it's run by the Heart and Stroke.
It was for the Heart and Stroke. We raised over $2,600.
Yeah, I think it's $2,650.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
And a special mention, obviously, there's two people. Janet Amos, who arranged everything. Well done, Janet. She wrote me in at like last minute.
Yeah.
Wish I got a free hat and a wristband.
There you go.
I'm happy.
Gerpley.
And Kapoor Taylor, who raised over $1,200 on her own. So, and she got like a gold heart of the foundation that she gets on the website and the page and everything.
We got talented.
I was like Tony. Yeah. I thought, oh, I'll just kind of stand in the background. And Jenna called me in a panic. She says, "We're short writers. Can you raise the money and get on?" So I said, "Sure, no problem. Shouldn't be a problem raising 50 bucks. You had to get 50 bucks each writer.
Right.
So I took my sponsor sheet around. Everyone I talked to says, "Oh, no, I already got group read. Yeah. I already got group read." So it wasn't as easy as I thought it would be.
Capri got
everyone. You had to dig deep there?
But I did manage to get $65.
I think I got about half an hour.
So in two days,
I got 10 bucks.
But at the end of the day, it was a great experience. I think everybody had a good time.
It's my first time doing it. My first time doing any sort of charity sort of event like that.
Right.
It was good. I finally enjoyed it with good people. Yeah. Everyone that joined in. Even people that haven't joined in donated. Well done to everyone. It was a thing. Super. Boston Pizza, we have to give big shout out to Boston Pizza.
Absolutely.
They give some free pizza
and
drinks.
It's something I think we want to make an annual event.
Everybody
that did it had a good time.
And hopefully we try and get more people involved in it next year.
Yep.
And get the word spread out.
You're
always working. You're working
all the time.
Yeah, well, you give me that fucking excuse. I am trying to
do boxes for the guy here.
Oh, you talk nonsense.
What are you saying? You're volunteering? What time are you going to go to your box?
I put my word in for doing
he's got
an hour
20
a week
more
or
hours before he has to start again. What else is going on?
So tomorrow we have the food share Friday. Try and drive away the hunger. We approached food share to see if they could use the help, and they said certainly we can always use the. Especially this time of year, everybody goes away on vacation. The food banks are very high in demand this time of year, so you don't have as many people giving because people are going away on vacation.
That's
and
right.
Whatnot, so they get low on food this time of year and at Christmas time. So
Do you put a box in each bus? Then is that how it works on the wheel well?
What I'm doing is the buses that don't have the black lock boxes. Mm-hmm. We're putting the cardboard boxes on with the food share sign on it. The lock boxes we're actually taping open with the sign on it, so you can put the food in there. And we're going to have volunteers from the POPS committee as well as myself will be out there collecting it throughout the day as we're going along it doesn't get piled up.
Right.
I don't know what kind of response we were going to have. I thought, kind of short notice.
Get the word out.
And stuff.
We've seen all the flyers and stuff.
It's the word you got to get out. Once if people know about it.
We put the press release out, and like I said, it went on to Twitter. We got 20,000 hits. It was in the Spectator yesterday. Mm-hmm. So let's hope.
Good.
It's the first time we've attempted something like this. And it's going to be trial and error. Hopefully everything goes smooth.
Yeah. So bring a can or something?
It's not like you bring your old slice of pizza that you just bought.
So if the driver gets hungry, what do we do?
Dig into the
cardboard
boxes.
You know what? How anyone can eat that shit?
What do you mean, Tony? I live on that stuff.
I probably didn't look like cat food or something.
Enough.
In fact, we had that for lunch in the cafeteria today.
it
was mac and cheese with chili. Very tasty. That's all I can say. Breakfast of champions.
There you go.
So, the POPS committee is run by, it's chairman by Sheldon, and Jana Amos is on here.
She's the secretary.
Joe Rolu, there's a few people on there, I'm not sure.
Rob Jeffries, Joe Matus.
You didn't let Rob Jeffries on there, did you?
We certainly did.
Rob, if you listen to this, I love you, but you're a miserable
He's going to be driver of the month this month. Watch out.
You're a racist because it should be me. So you're a racist. I keep telling you.
Cheryl Lucas, that's the other guy.
Okay. Get on there, don't worry.
So what else is... Oh, I want to talk to you. That's why I brought you up here, really, was the elections.
Upcoming
for the upcoming elections. Not the provincial elections. This is the union local 107 elections. Yeah. The people that are not in the union, I apologise for the next 20 minutes. but we've got pretty important elections coming up. And yeah. I wanted to get Eric up here to discuss, not his party line, but just he's been in the union for a number of years.
Quite a few years. Working with the union 25 years of years.
I believe yeah, it's 20 yeah, I've been, years. I've been working here for just over 25 years. I've been active in the union, I would say, for at least 23 years. 23 to 24 of those.
Yes. And this time you're going for president.
I'm running for president, I've been vice president for 12 years, and Bud said he's not running again, so I decided, yes, it's time I take a shot at it.
You're well seasoned, Dan.
Well, I hope so.
Well seasoned.
Yeah. So what sort of, I'm going to ask you, party, I'm grab that fucking
I can hear again.
I can hear again. So what sort of, I want to ask your party line or whatever. I've seen the flyers and the leaflets you bought, and you're just handing out water to people on the buses. Was it Monday? No.
Tuesday was the nominations, the following Monday.
You know he had me. That's why I got mine yesterday.
I'm not voting for you.
Thanks, man. Well, that's good. I got one for him, one against. This should be really interesting.
I'm for him. No, I am.
In all fairness, I've only been here a couple of years, so this next part, I've been in the union back home for 7 years before I left. And then I was there a couple of years. So I've got a rough idea of what
it's in your blood. Is that what you're saying?
What do they call it over there?
Yeah, it's
BTU?
No, it's the Transit and General Workers Union. So it's TGW. It's a similar thing. It's like the amalgamated transit.
Sure.
Buses and coaches.
Oh, yeah.
It's all pretty the same. So give us your party line and what you can look out for and why people should vote for you.
Well, certainly I'm on board with the International's agenda, which is to start getting... exercising the power that we have. We have to encourage...
And that doesn't mean striking.
No, absolutely.
A lot of people don't have misconception. When I talk about
power, I talk about the power of the people. It really is.
Right.
And that's what unions are all about.
Right.
That's what the history of the union is.
I think that's why some unions have lost credibility, I think, because they have a home.
And that is why we, all unions in Canada now are taking a much softer approach. I don't know if you've seen the ads for OPSU. They've got the popsicles rather than the picket sticks.
Right, right. I've seen it.
And even our own union in York Region, when they had their last strike there, we had information pickets. We didn't have the, slam them, shut them down, hold them tight.
I'll live through some of that as a child.
I grew up where that was the labor movement. In fact, one of my first experiences on a picket line was when I was, about 11 years old. My dad took me to my first picket line. He was, he was a garbage man here in the city with GP Local 5.
Oh, okay.
And they had all summer they were on strike. And so
what a stink that was.
It absolutely was. In fact, if you remember the song, it was the dead skunk in the middle of the road. That came out at that time. That summer that the garbage were on strike. I think it was in 72, maybe.
We had similar at home, the army went round. The army and police and fire brigade.
Anyways, my dad had been out on strike for, I don't know, maybe a month and a half. And he came home, and me and a couple of my friends, we were 11 years old, and we had some seniors in the area, so they were giving us a quarter each to take their garbage down to the temporary dump. They didn't want to put it into their nice cars, so we had a wagon. We were piling the garbage on for a quarter apiece.
So you're a scab.
My dad came home and my father came home and he caught me doing that. He says, "Tomorrow morning you're getting up and going to the picket line." So I got a quick lesson on labor at that point. That was a real eye.
See, that's the old
right.
So we're going to go on strike. See,
right.
My personal feeling is I believe that transit is an essential service, like you said. It's an advantage, like I said, wrong word.
It's the lifeblood of the community.
Police, transit, fire brigade.
It's important.
And people think, oh, you're transit, you're not as important as a fireman. No, we're not as important as a fireman because we drive, they save people's lives, we just drive them around.
We save probably more lives than firemen. Did I say that?
Certainly got a responsibility for...
But we have a responsibility for thousands and thousands of
respect
people.
Respect firemen, by the way.
Millions of people a year or whatever it is. I don't know what the numbers are. It's probably in the millions of people a year or...
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people a week. We're responsible for these people to get home safely.
That's right.
So being on strike, me personally, my opinion is that transit workers shouldn't go on strike. The same way police shouldn't be allowed to go on strike, the army shouldn't be allowed to go on strike. What happens if the army go on strike? Oh, the army ain't going to go and turn up today. The police ain't going to turn up today. They're going on strike. The fuck, the country being fucking ruined in a heartbeat. Right, so that's taking it to the extreme, but you can see where I'm going with this conversation.
I think the union could be just as strong.
I was going to say, Tony, strike is not something anybody ever wants to do.
I don't, personally, I don't believe that we should. At all costs, you have to try
and avoid a strike. Yeah. You have to... negotiate down to the end. And that's the key of making sure that you have a good negotiating team in place when you go to the table.
Well, I think the social media and also websites that we use is quite a good tool to get the information on what the realities are.
Absolutely.
It's been used by you and it can be used again.
Oh, certainly. The greatest asset we have is our passengers, right? So when we're at the negotiating table, they are our greatest ally.
That's true.
You know, if you've got them on board, if you've got the public on board, especially this year, we're going into not only negotiations, but we also have the municipal elections coming up.
Right.
And it's important that we get people into power that are transit-minded and recognize that, you know, we are the lifeblood of this community, and we do have some worth.
Well, we do, right? And we were talking about low-income workers that have to get to work. We really sympathize with that. We don't have the infrastructure right now to get them to work on time at times or connections. We have another group of people with special needs.
Absolutely.
We can't abandon...
That's a huge part.
Can't abandon the special needs, and the politicians better understand that. Okay, we have to get these people where they need to go. I remember in 1982, we had a strike here. And one of the things that ATU did, we might have had 9 or 10 of us, I was one of them, where we actually drove people.
Went out and picked people
we
up
picked people
them.
Up
yep.
with the union gas
yep.
money.
Yep.
Union gas money. And we went and picked them up and took them to the hospitals and their doctor's appointments. And if anybody knows or heard of Bob Kemp, he runs that hospice on Stone Church.
Bob Kemp,
he put in the
hospice.
He put it. Yes, he also put in the St. Joseph Care Ambulatory Care on Nash. He got that done. That was my doctor. So I went for an appointment with him and I told him what we were doing. He commended us over and over again. That was a big humanitarian with Bob Kemp.
Yep.
He thought we did the greatest thing by doing that. So ATU has been doing this in this local for a long time. People don't know this.
See, people just look at the bad stuff. Oh, we've lost this, we've lost that. But it's not all about money. I've said this to you many times. The negotiations coming up for our wages. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I don't want a pay rise. Now, it sounds stupid for someone to say, well, why don't you want a pay rise? Are you fucking stupid? You got four kids, you got two cars and a house and all the rest of it.
Right.
I don't want a pay rise. I'd like to say to the city, okay, we'll take a 2% pay rise for the first year only. But instead of giving us that pay rise, use that money that you're going to give us in a lump sum and put it back into the infrastructure of the company.
Mm.
Put it back into more buses, more... I know it might sound silly to you. You know what I'm
I was going to say, you say you don't want to give anything up, but the minute you do something like that, you are giving up, Tony, because you need to realize the inflation that's been taking place. It's where we are, as much as we say we're getting pay raises, we are losing ground. Every contract, we took a 0% the first year. We took a 1.9. If you look at the inflationary rate, which was averaging about 2.5%, we've lost some ground.
Yeah.
And you can only afford to do that for so long. Certainly if you have four kids, at some point you're going to reach the breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... as far as investment in transit, definitely we need that.
Oh, huge.
And, that has to come from all levels of government, not just municipal, right. but federal.
That's right.
And if you look at, and I'm not an advocate for increasing fares, but at some point you have to say money.
Well, the system has to be fixed,
and it isn't fixed right now. We have to fix where it's broken. The councillors keep saying about talking about expanding, bringing LRT and BRT. You know, that's great. It's great to talk about. But at the end of the day, we've got to fix what we have in place.
That's right, exactly.
Unfortunately, our schedules are at such a breaking point now. The buses are so overloaded. Yeah. You look at the strollers, mobility devices, the bundle buggies. Yeah. You know, there's only so much capacity on these buses,
right.
and at some point you have to meet that demand that's there in place now, and we have to look at more creative ways of serving outside the city.
That's right.
The more rural areas where, you know what, they have no service, or they've got TransCat service, which is not adequate.
It's not.
So we're going to have to look at more creative ways of meeting those needs, but it has to be a joint effort. It can't be, you know, the union or the company. We have to sit down together. We have to build the better transit system.
That's not
the employer's job. It's not the union's job. It's jointly. We have to work together with the passengers. Mm-hmm. And the key to that is getting the passengers to be the driving force for that.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying. I know I've probably got slightly wrong with my calculation.
You had enthusiasm going there. That's what it was.
Enthusiasm, but no fucking sense.
Take a slap. Give him a slap, man.
No, you can see what I'm saying. Is if it's a,
no, you're right.
What's the contract? 4 years normally, 5 years, 3 years?
We've had three years and 4 years.
So say if it's a 4-year contract, what I'm saying is the first year, we could say, okay, we won't take a pay rise for the first year, but we'll take that money, 2% or whatever our pay rise, you put back into the company as like an incentive.
Okay, you're getting crazy again, Tom.
Yeah, I'm getting crazy.
Wake up.
Yeah,
He's going somewhere.
But then the next 3 years, we take over inflation pay rises. You're saying if it's a 2% is inflation, okay, we take 2.2%, we take 2.2%, we take 2.4%. So that first year to the passengers, we haven't took a pay rise for the first year. Oh, you fucking bus drivers, you don't need any more money. No, we never took a pay rise this year. The money that we was going to have is now servicing you.
Do
you see where I'm going?
If you really want the money to go back into the community, Tony, you have the ability, if you get a decent wage and a decent pension. And I understand exactly what you're saying, because there are a lot in this community that's
look at transit workers, they look at all public service, they look at your bills, they look at overpaid, this and that.
But you know what? At the end of the day, they are the driving force. They are the middle class. Mm-hmm. And if you start adopting that theory of thinking, then you're going to eliminate the middle class. And that's exactly what the HUDACs want to do.
Then who buys a car? Who does this?
Exactly. You have to maintain that middle class. And it's up to us as that middle class to start reaching out to the lower class and to give them a hand up and start demanding better wages for the Walmart workers. You know, that we...
Raise minimum wage, raise this, raise stuff, more benefits.
And that's what unions do. That's what laborers do.
Yeah.
We've forgotten that part of our responsibility.
Right.
As unions, we really have.
Yeah.
I got involved, maybe about 10 years ago. We tried to organize the crossing guards, school crossing guards.
Here well, good thing you brought that up.
And that was a real drive. Yeah. It was a close call. I think we got something like 42%.
For a first attempt to make them a union, to unionize them.
When you think about it, crossing guards, we have a lot of school bus properties that we represent. And my thinking was school crossing guards are the most undervalued workers in the city of Hamilton, not only the city of Hamilton, most cities.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at them, they have the same responsibility as you and I, or school bus drivers.
They probably have more responsibility.
If you've seen some of them when they walk out, they're out in front of cars, trucks, those cars come screeching to a halt. You know, they put their own life in danger to protect those kids.
That's right.
All kinds of weather, they're out there, and they get paid very, very little money. And there's no benefits.
We should still have our pension, there's no benefits.
Absolutely, they have no benefits at all.
I know a lot of them are retirees and stuff like that. As unions, we've gotten away from that.
We need to get back into organizing the unorganized workers. We need to reach out to them. And that's part of our responsibility.
Right.
And bring them up to our level of, or our standards of living, so that they don't look at us as just, you know, pigs at the trough.
Right. Yeah, so to speak, yeah, right? Exactly.
Unions started in basements of churches, right? That's the social side of it, of giving to the needy. That's why, one of the reasons why we did the food drive, the Heart and Stroke. Yeah?
Right.
That's part of our responsibility as unions, to give back to the community, to build the community. And we haven't been doing that.
As much.
You know, we've got too comfortable.
So what has
not just us, all public service workers.
True.
Why hasn't the ATU recently been doing that then? Why is it? Is it because of higher No, that's no disrespect to you. I'm not trying to get on the backs of the union. I'm a union man.
Yep. Yeah. I would say we've had a major change at the international level.
Okay.
And I think the major change has been the result of the grassroots saying, hey, you know,
we're getting it from our
passengers, from our citizens. Hey, you know, you guys got the best pensions, you got the best benefits, you got the best wages. Here we are, you know, pumping gas or crossing kids and or working at Walmart, and they've got nothing, right?
And we're
the ones driving these people to the food banks every week. Or, you know, as well as I do, the first 3 days of the month, the last 3 days of the month, that's our business. You know what? And instead of, you know, saying that we're better than them or, you know, looking at them with disdain, we need to reach out to them. We need to try and help them.
Well, help them, yeah.
And that's part of our responsibility as being good labor.
Yeah, just because they're not working and they've got three or four kids or whatever, that's choices that they've made, right? And you can't, I've made bad choices, I've made good choices, same as everyone.
You know,
and they've maybe made a few more bad choices than some people.
One of the things I learned at a very young age, my mother was very good at, did her job very well. She says, you never judge somebody else for something. You know, someday you may end up washing their shoes.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, most of us, even though we make a decent wage and a decent pension and everything else, most of us are only a few paychecks away from being there. Right?
Well, I live sometimes paycheck to paycheck.
Exactly.
Young kids, I've got four kids under 11.
Tell me about it. Six kids. One's just got relations today.
We were.
Congratulations.
Yeah. That's
another
car you got to buy.
I know.
So that's one of the things we need to do is we need to reach out to not only those who are less fortunate, but we also need to build bridges with the community.
And that's part of the POPs. We got
other community organizations such as the environmentalist groups, the disabled activists for the special needs.
Right.
You know, senior citizens groups, the students groups.
Yep.
They're all dependent on transit.
Yep.
We're just as dependent on them. And we need to recognize that, and we need to reach out.
We want to come through for them.
So we need to get some roundtables going with these people. You know, set up some committees to say, look, you listen to the government talking about, oh, we need rapid transit or we need bus transit or rapid bus.
No, you need a transit.
Rail.
You need a transit.
And none of them really have a plan of what exactly we should be doing. But you know what? Let's give them the plan. Let's tell them
what we really need here in Hamilton.
Right. And let's drive it from the people who use the system, people who operate the system.
But that's what we've been saying all along. My thing is, if people complain about the service, I say, some of the service does suck.
Yep.
Go to your local board, your local councillor, send them a letter, email them, find out who they are, knock on
the
door.
You know, our manager even does that.
Yeah.
Our manager in this company.
I've had a few people go,
I've tried it. Yes.
Because you're in the same boat as me. I live way out in Stony Creek.
Right.
I have to catch the bus to work sometimes.
Yep.
I've got a drop-off bus home. Lucky I've got a car at the moment, but how long that lasts, I don't know, but...
It depends on the formula, Tony. It depends on what I can afford at the moment. I can afford two cars in the house.
Yeah,
a new one.
6 months old, I might not be able to because the little one's growing up.
I'll
be using the drop-off bus again. I use the buses to go. I've done it for like a year and
That's
a half.
That's your second car.
The bus is my second car. My other car is a bus. That's just where it is. So I've complained to people about the service in where I live.
Sure.
And I'm a bus driver, and I'm complaining about the service that I work for.
Right.
Now, that's not because I'm an idiot.
No, no.
That's because I'm a person that needs to get around.
Absolutely.
And there's people in my area that 90% of them have cars, or 80% of them have cars, 70% of them have cars.
Right.
But that 30% or the 20% or the 10% need to get around.
They're just as good as anybody else.
Well, like I said, Tony, you know, at some point in your life, everybody needs transit.
Yeah. Well, look at the person that gets old.
Whether students going to school, whether it's, they get older and
they lose their license,
they no longer
they're
have
despondent,
a license,
they go, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? I'm going to die. You know? Yeah. No, you don't have to. You should have an option.
It's surprising how many seniors go into panic mode.
Oh, they really do?
They can't drive anymore and they're going to lose their license.
I had an older gentleman stand beside me by the fare box. It looked like he was just going to pass out. He was so despondent about losing his
car. They get out there and they start riding the system. They realize it's not as bad.
It's not so bad.
I've had a couple of seniors yesterday at Lambridge Mall come up to me and say, not yesterday, the day before, sorry, I'm losing time now.
You've been doing a lot.
No sleep, that's
why. Eric's been doing a lot. Yeah, here you are now.
When we were up at Lambridge Mall, we had an elderly woman and her husband, and she said, you know, we fretted over giving up our pickup truck. They had a Dodge Ram, same as I had, she says, but it cost them $140 every time to fill it. So finally, she convinced her husband to give it up. She says, and we did that 6 months ago. She says, it was the best thing we ever did. She says,
we've been
saving money hand over fist. Yeah. They both have the seniors pass, and they're
loving
all
it
all day long.
And they're active.
No worries.
They're active. They're walking. They're using the system. They're healthy.
You know, and you talk about the persons with special needs. You know, I got a wife with MS, and she's never driven. She's always been dependent on transit. Mm-hmm. I have two daughters. One is dependent on transit. Mm-hmm. She's never had a license. No interest in getting a license. Mm-hmm. The other one. She's had her license since she was 16, and she drives everywhere.
The new generation is not that interested in driving. I mean, I just had a girl that just got her license today, but my son that's just above her in age, 19, he doesn't have his. So, he doesn't have any interest to drive.
So I'm from a culture back home in London. I've gone back home again. I'm going to be pop culture.
Here we go again.
I use transit. Pretty much all my life.
Yes.
Because
in
England, like London, it's easy.
Yes.
There's a bus stop every 200 yards. There's a train station.
They have a goal to make it work over there, right?
And even just before we left, we got rid of our car so we could save to move to Canada. And we didn't have a car for 2 years. We had two kids. Both used to travel to and from work.
Being from England, were you there when Thatcher privatized some of the tubes?
I was born then. I was a young kid. And that's what I'm saying. I went through some of that with my dad. Used to work for the newspapers before Rupert Murdoch, the fucking idiot, took over News International and fucked everything up and moved to Wapping. My dad
had a lot of scandals over there.
Yeah, my dad was a casual worker, so they'd phone him up and he'd come in and work. Because they used to have the unions then, was like you'd have four people to do one person's job. Because they'd all do 2 hour shifts and go to the pub for fucking fun. I've done all that shit, right? So my dad was a casual. Cucumber sandwiches and cricket and all the rest of it. And so I went through a little bit. I didn't really understand it then. I understand it more as I got to a teenager. My dad never went really to the picket lines because he was a casual. But there was all like the. And that's where I get a bit jaded with the union sometimes, I'll be honest with you, Eric. Because I've seen both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My dad was in the union, and they were bribed. It was just a fucking legal bribery. That's all it was, basically. They were fucking Shylocks, all of them. All the union.
There are those.
Yeah, they were not like you. They were fucking archaic dinosaurs. It was give me a couple of quid
but
under the table.
But
you've
got to change with the times.
I was going to say, that's old school.
And that was way back in the 80s.
And you think back, same time you had the Teamsters with the racketeering.
Right.
Those days are long gone, thankfully, because you know what?
Yes.
It made us all
He went to the picket line as a casual, and he was on the picket line, and I don't move it. From fucking Fleet Street, I'm moving from Fleet Street. They're going to Wapping, and they're going to lose the union and all the jobs. And there's like full time workers going, oh yeah, you got to go to the picket line instead of casual. So the casual show, and then they see the fucking full time workers going into work. That's why I get a little bit jaded. And that's why it was a bit more of a militant organisation back then.
Right.
It's the 21st century. People have grown up. I mean, you're how old are you, Eric?
52.
Yep. So you grew up in the 70s?
Correct.
Teenager in the 70s, 80s.
60s.
Young man, 60s.
60.
Ken grew up in the...
Now.
Ken grew up in
no, no, almost 50s.
Ken grew up in black and white with dinosaurs running the earth.
Just a few channels on the TV.
Yeah, he only had four channels. He only had two. I remember until I was about 10.
He remembers adjusting the rabbit ears to get it in.
Yeah, you had those?
So from
had to lift one leg. And,
yeah, you got to stand outside. Your grandma's outside.
Don't forget the tubes.
No, but it's the 21st century now. Like you're saying, social media and email and the internet is huge. Yep. Thing. For the people that, me personally, I grew up with no internet. You grew up with no internet up until recently.
Exactly.
Up until the early
90s. Had to learn it.
We had to learn it from books, so you have to go to the fucking library.
And it's still, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we're recording it on fucking.
This is actually my first podcast. Yeah.
Podcast.
See? It's great. Now, the union's job now is not so much what you were describing, but to hold that line, basically, not on the ground as you see a line with the pickets, but hold the line in the standard of living.
Absolutely. We have to keep peace.
Yeah.
And it's getting
harder. And that, we're not doing it just for us.
Nope.
We're doing it for those low-income people. I mean, if we weren't there, then what?
Well, like I was going to say, you know, our contract didn't happen overnight. It's been 115 years that we've built up the benefits and the wages and the standard of living. That
most
we have.
Of the laws in the in labor law is from unions backing and doing that.
And it's a when you talk about the laws and the legislation, that's all driven by the provincial and the federal governments. And you know, you look back to the Mulroney days with the free trade, and you and me coming from Firestone.
Oh, my goodness. Kicked out.
Exactly.
Boy. Yeah. I got up first.
You think of all the...
saw it coming.
You think of all the jobs we lost, you know. You listen to Hudak talking
good
about
plans.
How, you know, the right to work and all that is going to create jobs. We know...
What was his name? Who Hacks?
Who Hacks? Exactly.
Yeah, but we discussed this on a couple of podcasts back, I believe. Or the last podcast with the...
I know here in Hamilton.
Detroit is ruined. If I'm
I know here in Hamilton, when free trade come in, we lost Firestone, we lost International Harvester.
Yep.
We lost Levi's.
Yes.
The Levi plant left. Camco was another big employer here. You know,
Robertson Irwin was one of them too.
And we were all sold this bill of goods that's going to create all these jobs. Look at all the farms that have. Family farms that have gone out of business as a result of free trade, right?
Not just that.
Now you go and buy a peach that's you know, grown in China or grown in Mexico.
So we're in an international market now,
exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So what do they? What's the plan? We're going to be lowering ourselves to the like a
well,
third world country?
Or? When you look at the federal government, you've got the federal premier. He's talking about a free trade deal now with China. Our NAFTA and our free trade agreement with the U.S., it can be canceled by either side, I think, with 3 months' notice. This deal with China that they're now negotiating, it's a 15-year, you have to give 15 years' notice for either side to cancel.
Oh, wow.
So if we get locked into something like that, we could, and you're going to compete with China? I mean,
isn't that where all that pollution is and people are dying
from?
It's not
that, it's the workforce of China. They've got fucking over a billion people to look at.
Yeah,
the workforce. And they get people, they've got no labor laws, they've got no fucking child safety laws, they've got no safety laws in their factories. They're like fucking. There was a big thing at Expose years ago about Walmart getting some of their clothes. Oh, they're made in China. Walmart, one of the biggest companies in the world.
Right.
They make how many $100 billion a year or whatever it is worldwide. And they're getting like 10-year-old kids to make their shoes.
I remember.
And T-shirts and
it's
all this
about
shit.
The
no label laws. Because it costs them $2 to make a T-shirt. They can sell it for $10.
I remember
like 20
watching.
Chinese cents
you,
or whatever
you,
it is. Yeah, right?
Watching say, 20. You say $2, it's $2
their money.
$2 their money is about 20 cents ours. Yeah, exactly.
I remember watching 2020, I believe it was, and they were scrutinizing Nike.
Okay. Yep.
Probably 15 years ago at least. And Nike, what they were doing on 2020, they explained it. They would go to a country like Thailand or whatever, put it in a factory, pay them 87 cents an hour. Oh, wait a minute. We can get it cheaper over in maybe China or over in India. Yeah. Okay, let's go there. 30 cents an hour.
And that's why even the labor movement now has become an international movement. We're in a global economy, global market, and we have to compete on a global scale. And in order to do that, we have to reach out to those third world countries that are working for 20 cents, 30 cents, and we need to organize them. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing that, actually, very
successfully. It's been happening.
You know. You can get people in those countries to work for you, but there's getting them to work for you, and then there's getting slaves to work for you. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the prison, the private prisons in the States.
Mm-hmm.
It's legal slavery.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, that's legal slavery, right? Because they pay them hardly anything. I know they're criminals and all the rest of it. They're bleeding hearts. They're criminals. They should be locked up. Yeah, but they made a mistake, right? Most 90% of them are there for stupid reasons. They made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to have to wrap this up soon.
I was going to say, I've got to get up there and get those food boxes.
Are you going to get any sleep before this election's over?
I doubt it, but you know what? That comes with the territory. That's one of the reasons I ran for this job. You know?
Wow. You give too much, Eric.
Hey, I'm a labor activist. I love what I do.
I've seen it for years.
I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Before we go, a couple of quick mentions, as always. It's a Facebook page, is the Transit Sense Facebook page. That's for everyone.
Yeah.
I think Eric's on there. You got Transit One is for the drivers. That's a private group that Ken runs. Obviously, the podcast will be on podomatic.com/TransitSense.
Right.
And iTunes, just try Transit Senses, because they added a plural on iTunes. I don't know why.
It's got us puzzled.
But yeah, it's got us puzzled, and I can't figure it out. Another $1 billion company a year, and I ain't fucking with it. It's Transit Senses Podcast, plural, on iTunes. Right. We've got an email address. We've actually got an email address. It's transit.sense1@gmail.com.
That's right.
Transit.sense1.
You'll get it right.
No, trans. I'm fucked it up. Listen to the first two podcasts. All right. You have normal listeners, you freeloading fucking scum.
It's too late for me to get it right.
it's fucking 3 o'clock in the morning. It's transit.
I was going to say, I think you better move this.
Transit.sense1.
Yes.
Okay.
We've got a bunch to talk about. Eric, thanks for your time.
It's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me.
Super.
Hopefully we'll do it again sometime.
Yeah. Thank you, Eric. All right.
You guys have a great night.
Get some sleep. In the truck.
All right.
See you later, Eric. Okay, before we go, Eric's obviously just left the building. He's a very busy man, and I appreciate him for coming.
Pleasure having you, Eric.
We're gonna go now. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I've got to get Ken home, go to bed. So I've got little ones at home.
That's right.
So listen to us whenever you feel like it. Pass it on to your friends. It's just a friendly banner. You get some information and stuff.
If you get a chance to pass on about the food share, that'd be
help. It'll be on Podomatic later on today, Friday the 30th, which is the food share day.
Right.
And obviously it'll be on iTunes within the next 24 hours.
Yep.
All right, so always remember, drive safe and stay safe.